And the people said,
Amen.
Thank you, choir, for the wonderful song. Tuna is the American fish. We love to eat it. Our kids take tuna sandwich to school. But it didn't used to be like that, actually. Salmon was the king of the fish in Americas. But in 1907, a cannery down in Southern California by San Pedro Bay decided to do a special campaign. Guess what they said? Anybody remember that? They said, tuna is the chicken of the sea. 1907. And that began to change the American taste, because back then the tuna they were eating was albacore, and albacore tuna by itself in nature is kind of gamey. There's a certain smell to it. So this company decided they would drain the tuna of its own natural oil and then pack it in olive oil and cottonseed oil, and voila, tuna tastes like chicken. Of course, World War II changed that also. World War I, when the men went over to Europe, we needed more protein, so the government ordered more tuna. By 1940s, tuna had taken over salmon as the American fish. And today, we eat twice as much tuna as salmon. All because people said tuna is the chicken of the sea. And all of us believe that, right? When we catch fish, we eat it. That's what they do. And because our population is increasing and people have learned that fish is good for us, more people are eating more fish. So the average American per year eats about 17 pounds of fish. 17 pounds. Out of almost 2,000 pounds of food that each of us eat every year. A ton of food, that's our average. But fish, about less than 1%. And of the fish that we eat, about half of it is caught in the wild, in the oceans or in the lakes, and the other half are farmed. Fish are farmed these days. Aquaculture, they call it. And in fact, many people are arguing that if we can raise fish on the farm, it's the most cost-efficient way to eat protein. If you feed a salmon 1.2 pounds of grain, corn, you get 1 pound of salmon. But to get a pound of beef, you have to feed it almost 8 pounds of grain. So it's no-brainer, people say. We should be farming fish and getting our proteins from fish. But on the other hand, people tell us, when we farm fish, though, we don't get all the benefits what fish should have, because they are not eating what they usually would eat if they are out in the ocean. We're feeding them grain just like we are feeding our cows. So there is both a plus and a minus when it comes to fish these days. Not only that, people are telling us that children under 55 pounds, kids in grade school, should not have tuna more than once a month, because there is so much mercury in the tuna these days. So whether it is farmed or caught in the wild, eating fish can be a little problematic. Yet, the world can't have enough of it. Last year, we caught over 143 million metric tons of fish around the world. Of course, of that, 100 million tons were caught in the oceans, and 45 million of that was farmed. When we human beings catch fish, we eat fish because we love fish. So when it comes to Jesus saying, follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men, catch for people, When we catch fish, we eat them. Well, when we catch people, what do with them? We evangelize them. Are we going to eat them too? That's a good question for us, right? When we catch fish, what are we doing with people? But let's look closely at this story in Jesus. Jesus is walking by the lake, and he sees this Peter and his crew, and he tells them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people, catch people. Now, Jesus is doing something that's out of the ordinary, because in the traditional society, when you wanted to learn something from a spiritual teacher, it was a student, the applicant, who would go to the teacher and ask, teacher, would you accept me as your disciple? But here Jesus is the one who's doing the looking and the seeking and the finding. He goes and calls Peter. He sees him and he speaks to him and says, follow me. Now, I don't know how each of us began following Jesus. If I were to ask you, how did you follow Jesus? I'm sure I'll get a variety of answers. Some of you may say, yes, I was just like Peter and his friends. I decided, Jesus called me, and I followed immediately. Others of you may say, it was a battle. Jesus called me, but it was a struggle. It was painful. Although I finally followed. Some of you might say, I don't understand the question. I've always followed Jesus ever since I was born. Yet, I believe we are all here because Jesus called out to each one of us. We heard his voice, and we decided to follow. Maybe it was the voice of our former preacher, maybe some missionary, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe even your parents or some relative or some unknown saint in the church who opened your heart so that you became a follower. So it was the voice of Jesus who calls us, to which we respond and have followed. And so we are here today to follow Jesus so that we may learn to fish for people. In the Hebrew culture and in many Asian cultures, God was pictured as a fisherman. Whenever God was about to do something new, when God had a special mission. So it wasn't that Jesus saw some fishermen and he decided, well, I'll call them to catch people. Rather, Jesus was speaking to a culture that knew exactly what he was talking about. God was on a fishing expedition. God was on a mission. He is going to do something new in the world. And now Jesus is gathering his disciples to join God in this new thing that he was doing in the world. So perhaps to the question, how did you begin to follow Jesus? Maybe a more interesting question would be, how have you changed? What has been different since you decided to follow Jesus? In the bulletin, you do find that question, and I hope that some of us would spend some time answering this question. How is my life different because I am a follower of Jesus? It's going to take a long time to answer that, but I want you to turn to your neighbor and spend about 30 seconds talking about that. How has your life been different because you are following Jesus? Would you do that for about 30 seconds? I'm sure some of you are hearing some powerful things, and I hope that we can continue the conversation about how Jesus has made a difference in our lives ever since we followed Jesus. But I'm sure that in all of us, the profound difference has been how we look at ourselves, how we look at our world, and how we treat each other because we follow Jesus. Oftentimes, we forget that when Jesus called the disciples, the first thing he said was, to follow me, before it gets to fish for people. But oftentimes in church, we get so busy fishing, don't we? We think church is about bringing more people into the church, increase our membership, increase our budget. Or we think we have to be out there telling people what to do, put them right. Or we think our job is to just pull them into the net so that they won't go to hell but go to heaven. And we forget that the first thing Jesus says is, follow me, and you will learn how to fish for people. This week I was very disturbed by, of course, the events that took place in Boston and about these two young men who have this wrong understanding of how the world should be. But I was even more disturbed by what I heard from a Christian group who, right after the bombs in Boston, sent out emails to many news organizations. This church in Topeka, Kansas, the Westboro Baptist Church, sent out a letter to all the people saying, God sent the Boston Marathon bombs. I read their letter, and in gist it says, President Obama supports same-sex marriage, and God is against that. So Obama and everyone who believes like him are antichrist, enemies of God. But we stand for Christ, and we're going to fish for God. As I read that, I thought about fishing. You know, in the commercial and in large fishing boats, you have what is called a gaff. It is a big stick with a hook on it, right, to catch the fish when you bring it in. And I felt like these people are gaffing people left and right. They're not fishing. They are killing people. They're not following Jesus, because if Jesus was here today, that is not what Jesus would do. That is not what a follower of Christ would do in this time. By simply asking Jesus if he would have done such a thing, we know that they were not following Christ. They were fishing for themselves, for their own purpose, for their own reasoning, for their church, and hurting people in the process, unlike Jesus and the fishing God that he served. How can we follow Jesus this week? I think one way that we can do is pray big, like Paul does in Ephesians chapter 3. In the prayer that Paul prays for the church and for us, he prays that everyone will have their hearts expanded so that they will know how big and how deep, how great, how extensive, how extravagant God's love is for us. Isn't that our mission in this world? That we may understand God's love, and that our friends and our neighbors will do the same. Know this God that we have met. We can pray big because our God is big, but we can also pray big because God has also brought his love into our hearts. I read an interesting limerick, a little ditty. There was once a boy who loved to eat fish so much that one day he ate so much fish that he became a fish himself. We say Jesus came into the world to to become one of us. And by becoming one of us, we saw how we ought to live, how we ought to treat each other as human beings, how we can become a solid human being, just the way God meant us to be. I thought when Jesus asked us to become fishers of people, in a way, he's asking us to become the fish of the world, become part of the world, to know how the other fish live. The disciple asked his teacher, what's the difference between knowing and understanding? And the teacher said, when you say you know, it's like you're going to light a torch to see your way. But when you understand, it is that you become a torch yourself and you're able to light others. This week, I hope that we will pray for our world. I hope that you will pray for everyone in your life that you want to reach out to share the good news with. Pray that they will understand God's love. Pray that they will feel this love of God. Pray that you may be able to fish with them where they are, and that you may be able to guide them to the place where God wants us to be. Tuna still is our American fish. They say salmon will soon overtake it, hopefully, next decade or so, because the only tuna that fishermen are easily able to catch is skipjack tuna. And I understand that he has even more stronger aroma than the albacore, so they're going to have a hard time trying to convince us that it's chicken of the sea, it seems like. When people see us, I hope that they see us as the fish of the world who are following our fishing God, who is doing a new thing in the world. May we be able to bring all kinds of fish into this place because they know that we love them and they know that together we can change the world one pond at a time, one lake at a time, one ocean at a time. May God give us such faith to follow God and to follow Jesus. Amen.